Eskimo Stampeders in the West final Sunday at 2:30 at Commonwealth Stadium. Meanwhile, the Red Blacks hosting a playoff game for the first time in decades, as they will have the Hamilton Tiger Cats come to town, a sold-out facility in Ottawa. Edmonton looking to get over 35,000 for the game and sell out the lower bowl. You can help out. I think, are you in, is their slogan right now for the Eskimos. So get some tickets, go to S.com, and you can fill out the place. The weather's going to be 4 degrees, or if you like higher numbers, 39 Fahrenheit. Maybe that sounds better. Whichever one you prefer, I don't care. But a pretty good day for November 22nd football, to say the least. Easier on the players and easier on the officials, who I do always find it interesting when it's bitterly cold. They never get to go on the sidelines and warm up. Basically, they're like an ice cube for the entire game. As well, we welcome in former CFL referee and official for 30 years. Now he is an evaluator for the league. Bud Steen joins us again inside the stripes. Steiner, how are you?
I'm great. You know, speaking of cold playoffs, officiating was the first time I ever saw a man put pantyhose on.
What?
It was so damn cold in Edmonton. I was working the sticks.
Like pantyhose was the idea to make you warmer?
To cut the wind. So you,
Really?
Yeah. It works.
So pantyhose. So all
works.
Of our gentlemen who are outdoor workers right now, we're nearing wintertime. On a windy day, you're suggesting putting the pantyhose under your long underwear? Or
no.
Is Helly Hansen's better?
No. That was 30-some years ago.
So this was pre-Helly Hansen.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No. The gear now is way better. Way better.
I understand you wearing it on a game, bud, but I think a lot of your friends took issue when suddenly you're wearing it every Saturday night.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I met your brother over a few weekends ago. Trust me, he told me a lot of Bud Steen stories. We might have to share a few of those.
There are a few of them floating around, and a lot of them probably come out of the.
Weren't you really cold one game? Decided to warm yourself up.
Yeah.
Didn't work really well.
Didn't work so well. Exactly. Yeah, that one I don't know will go to air.
Man, I had a good chuckle over that one. That might go to air sometime. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
Leading up to the Grey Cup. Grey Cup stories. I'm sure there's always a lot of fun ones.
Generally, most of them originating in the spirit of Edmonton room.
Yeah.
They're going to miss me this year. I know that. So.
The officials have been named, well, not outwardly, but I know they've made their decisions on the refs and umpires, headlines, been line, side, back judge, and field judge for both the West and the Eastern final. Now, there's seven on each crew in the East and the West. Is it guaranteed that these are 14, seven of them will be working in the Grey Cup? There's no guy who doesn't officiate the West final that could still officiate the Grey Cup or East final?
We will go deeper than those guys that are working in the finals. You may find at Grey Cup fellows that worked the semifinal week and are not working in the final weekend that are assigned to the Grey Cup. And, it's essentially trying to get the right mix of people. Our primary focus is to get the best fellows at their particular positions. Then we've got to look at things like, okay, so who brings what else to the crew? Who has a particular additional skill set? How well do they control the crap that goes on during a football game? How thick is their skin on the sideline? How well do they support the referee when you get into dual double fouls and very complicated penalty applications? Things like that. So there is a lot of time spent in sorting out who's going to be working and who's going to be working when.
How difficult is the paring down of officials at this point? Well, do some of these guys stand out that it's pretty easy overall? How does it work? Because you're basically go from five crews down to two.
The anxiety associated with the month of November is unbelievable in the football officiating community. And I'm sure it's the same in all sports. I go back to my history when I worked. Generally, if you don't believe that you are at the top of your game, then there's something wrong with you. You need to have a pretty good sense of self to be a successful official. And that's notwithstanding telephone calls during the year, that's notwithstanding the evaluations that you're seeing and reading and all of that, you still believe you are the man. So generally speaking, there's a lot of sleepless nights associated with the assignments as they trickle out. You know, the last game of the year, that later that night, we'll send out the assignments for the semifinal. It was probably 5 or 6 hours after the semis completed, and we sent out the assignments for the final, and the Grey Cup assignments will come out either late Sunday night or Monday morning for Grey Cup. And it's tough. It's tough on everybody. It's tough on those of us that are selecting, because you want to get it right, and there's all kinds of factors to that you have to get right.
When you look at the assignments and you're going through it, you know, the referees and every other position, do you kind of have front runners now for the Grey Cup? And,
yes.
And an official basically would kind of have to officiate his way off of the Grey Cup assignment?
Yes. Yes. I think that's a very good comment. It's have you done something to hurt yourself?
Okay.
And we've got a very short list. And we're looking very, very carefully at who's in the game, that is, which teams are playing, and I guess you might say, have any of our selected officials pooped the bed on one of their games recently so that they would be particularly distraught to see official A as opposed to official B out on the field.
Now, is there a chance that let's say and I'm just using it for example, your back judges are both fantastic.
Yep.
And if they're better than the two side judges, could you have two back judges and have one of them become a side judge for the
yes.
Grey Cup?
Yes, because okay. those positions are essentially yes. interchangeable, much like head linesman and line judge. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely that you would move a line judge to head linesman because he hasn't been working managing the sticks during the game. But it is very possible that you have two head linesmen working the game, one of them at line judge and one of them at
okay.
head linesman.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're contemplating, and we haven't made a final decision on it yet, is how many alternates we're going to have. This weekend, there will be three alternate officials at each game.
Just in case of injury.
In case of injury. So we'll have an alternate referee. That's fairly common. We're going to have an alternate, we'll call him alternate A, field official, who could go in on the line of scrimmage. And then we're going to have an alternate downfield official who can...
be the side, back, or field judge.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
When was the last time an official got injured in a playoff game? Do you recall? And had to leave and be replaced?
BC Grey Cup.
2005?
Eskimos beating Montreal in overtime.
That's 2005, yeah.
We lost the head linesman.
Okay.
And so we had to replace the head linesman.
I can't remember that, so... Did it happen? Did he finish the half and they replaced him at halftime?
Yeah, okay. he finished the half, but he was you could see that he was hurting and he wasn't moving very well and he took himself out of the game.
Okay.
I mean, it's not something that an official is going to do very quickly, but you know, you've got to think about the game more than yourself in that particular case. I've seen referees go out. Dave Ewell, who listeners would remember, is a longtime referee. Dave was the referee in Grey Cup. Winnipeg was playing, I forget who the opponents were, they were playing in Calgary, and he destroyed a calf muscle in that game, and so Ken Lazarek, who had just filled his plate with nachos up in the press box, had to go down on the field and go and take over the game. He was the happiest guy in Calgary that afternoon, I'll tell you. But we've got some real good officials coming up for both the East and West final and a good balance on the crews. You know, Kim Murphy refereeing the Western final. People know Kim. He's been around for 22 years. He's got, he's got a lot of experience and the teams respect Kim. He runs a good game. He manages things very well. Pat MacArthur is umpire, is an Edmonton man. Only 5 years experience, but MacArthur has really come into his own at umpire. He's a very, very solid umpire. And I know talking with the local ball club, they certainly see his strengths, and they're happy when Pat's on the field, because they know they're going to get a well-officiated football game with him, just like they will with Justin McInnes, another Edmontonian who's working head linesman on Sunday. Just an exceptional official, young man who is has only been with us for 5 years, but he's going to go on to much bigger and better things in the Canadian Football League.
Now, I want to ask you, Edmonton and Calgary, the two least penalized teams in the CFL.
Yep.
Now, that might change in a West final when emotions run high, but both of these teams, it's not just been one game. It's been for all 18 games. Both of these teams have been very disciplined. They don't take a lot of penalties. Is that an easier game to officiate because those teams have historically showed, this season anyway, that, you know, they're more composed? Or based on your history of what you've seen from disciplined teams, does it all change with the intensity of the playoffs?
No, it won't change. The intensity of the game will ramp up, but there's a difference between intensity and stupidity, and generally it's the stupidity that leads to penalties. Either being over-amped, example, Eastern Semi, one of the Toronto guys just blows a guy in the back on the opening kickoff. You know, he was too keyed up. If he had just taken a little bit of time, he could have avoided the penalty. Not that it really hurt the ball club. You know, they lose 10 yards and they get it that and more on the very next down. But you know, the intensity is one thing. It's just, do you have troublemakers on your ball club? And I would say that neither of these teams have what you could describe as a troublemaker that's really gonna upset things. You know, we've seen situations in playoff games where we've had to separate the teams before the coin toss. As the teams are announced, we've got to get out and get in between the ball clubs. I don't see that happening in Edmonton on Sunday, because these two teams respect each other as athletes. They have a very high opinion of their opponent, and they're going to take that onto the field. And so I don't see trouble coming. And yet we've got people out there who can deal with it. You know, we've got a police officer at Field Judge who's been involved in more brawls than everybody in this building put together. He's one who will definitely handle things if we need it.
Esk Stampeders, Esk's first home game in the West Final since 2003. This will be the 13th meeting in the 10th meeting in the West Final between Edmonton and Calgary in the last 25 years. Stamps have won 6 of the last 9. Esk's looking to change that. They've actually lost the both games they've hosted at Commonwealth Stadium, so they'll hope to change that trend as well. Bud Steen continues with me inside the stripes. Now, we hear it from fans and players how officials try to control the game early. And, you know, you talked about how the guy in Toronto was too amped up, so you have to throw the penalty. But have you seen situations, and I'm guessing the officials, the referees that are in this game, aren't guys who try to over-officiate the game. That's why they're here.
In fact, there's a complete change of philosophy in officiating at the end of the season. During the regular season, we go through a phase of teaching, and you'll see flag counts that are enormous at the beginning of the year. We're establishing our standards. We are demonstrating to the players exactly what those standards are and how they're going to be applied. And as the season goes and as the players begin to adjust their play to what's being called, we're able to ease up a little bit. During the playoffs, we're looking for things that have an effect on the play, an impactful situation, an illegal act that is impactful. So not every holding is necessarily going to be thrown. If the official has a question in his mind whether or not the block on the kick return was from the side or the rear, he's likely going to give the player the benefit of the doubt. In the words of One of the old directors of the Canadian Football League, a man that I have the highest regard for in terms of his football knowledge, you got to see the blood on the knife. It really has to mean something for a flag to come out. And that's the mindset that the guys will bring to the field. They want the players to play. They want the players to decide the football game. They do not want to get in the way.
Calgary and Edmonton, having watched a lot of the film, was it about these two teams that they do not draw a lot of flags?
You know, I think in part that the makeup of the ball club is quite similar. Their mindset going in, I mean, you hear a lot in football about how it's a team game and it's not about me, it's about us each individual contributing and all of those platitudes. But these two teams exemplify that concept. Certainly the Eskimos are terrific. There aren't players on this ball club who whine if they don't get the ball. It's about who's open, who's running a good route and who's open. That's where Riley's going to go with the football. It's a very unselfish group of football players. And the Stampeders are very, very similar in that respect. And I think that there's a lot of the player saying to himself that he does not want to hurt the rest of the ball club. He doesn't want to hurt the rest of the team by doing something, by going out and doing something stupid. Other teams at other times, I've seen players come out and the guys figure they're going to win the ball game by physically destroying the opponent. And that just, frankly, doesn't work because you're just going to draw the flags and you're going to be working out of a hole for the whole bloody game.
Conversely, out east, Hamilton and Ottawa.
Yep.
Hamilton's a very vocal team, I think, to say the least. And when emotions run high, Bud, and you know there's a lot on the line. It's the East Final. You're one step away from the Grey Cup now. How hard is it for officials to block out the chatterbox?
The noise?
Because there are certain teams that just seem to complain more than others. And Hamilton is one that the coach is always in the official's ear. Right, the players seem to follow the coach's lead, and that's a team that I'm not sure they do themselves any favors just because they're constantly, at least from my vantage point in games I watch on TV, they seem to be in the officials' ears. Is that what the officials are telling you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, at this level, with the crew that's going out on the field on Sunday in Ottawa, they all have the ability to completely shut it off. The chirping at the officials is going to get no one anywhere. One of the things that we were looking for when we selected the fellows that are going to be working on bench side in Ottawa were guys who have demonstrated all year long that they are not impacted by the crap coming off the bench. And quite frankly, it was interesting because I talked to one of the officials who worked the semi on Sunday afternoon, and he said that the Hamilton team was very composed, very controlled, and rather contrite. There was not a lot of crap coming off the bench, which was terrific. Makes the game an awful lot more pleasant for an official, but you just don't let it. You just don't let it get inside your head. You got to shut it off. And in fact, in some cases, find some humor in it because some of the stuff they say is stupid, and it can be so stupid it's funny. And so you just throw it into that box in your head and move on.
Yeah, there are definitely certain things players can say that even if it's said, bleep you, whatever. Yeah. I had a ref tell me once when I was playing hockey, he said, if you smile at me when you say it, it's much less likely to offend me and really irk me. Right? And it was true because after that, the fact that he even brought it up to me, I was like, All right. So I found myself swearing less, but even on the odd chance I did, I made sure I smiled, and it totally seemed to just, you know, I'm like, okay, I voiced my opinion. He's like, yeah, I took note of it. Doesn't mean it's changing anything,
sure.
But away you go. And because sometimes I think just acknowledging the player will diffuse it 90% of the time because the player's like, okay, well, at least the ref just isn't ignoring me and walking
away. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I listened to an awful lot of stuff over 30 years on the field, and you know, never, it never really bothered me. Anything that came at me didn't bother me. I would just say to myself, you know, heat of the moment, you know, if it was particularly offensive, I would perhaps categorize the guy in my mind as an idiot and just move on. Nothing that I heard in 30 years I would characterize as hurtful. But there were guys who were really good at it, and they could engage you. They could. I think their MO was try to just confuse you during the game so that your head was spinning and you weren't watching carefully to see what they were doing. But you know, Terry Irvin, you played for Calgary decades ago. That guy would start his mouth running in the warm up. As soon as we came on the field, he'd be chipping and chirping and yakking, and he wouldn't shut up until the game was over. And frankly, we found it quite amusing. It was a lot of fun working his games because he just liked to run his mouth. Again, this level, the finals, the guys are going to be totally insulated from it. They're not going to be listening to anything that comes out of anybody's mouth, coach, player, anybody.
Players get amped up and excited for the games and a tad nervous at the same time, depending on which player you talk to. I'm assuming it's the same for the officials, but it's funny because the official in hockey or football, you can make a great play and everyone talks about it. That rarely happens. The official, it's only going to be, does he make the wrong call? Is it a different type of stress for the official? Because rather than thinking, okay, I'm going to have a good, you're more so, I just don't want to screw up. How's the mindset?
I always wanted a tough one early. I wanted something to blow up right in front of my face. And, you know, when I was downfield, I wanted a defender close on a receiver so that I had to really dig down deep and make that quick decision and make the right decision. Like a goalie wants a hard shot early in the game, I wanted a tough call early in the game. And once you got that, you were flying for the rest of the game. I was fortunate. I didn't mess up on any of the early ones, so I was able to, you know, get myself through the games. The anxiety associated with doing the right thing and performing well, you know, we train ourselves. There's a lot of self-talk, and the guys are very, very good at not getting down on themselves and not being so worried about making a mistake that they're not allowing themselves to objectively observe and allow their instincts to rule.
We have one quick test before we let you go. People, they listened to your comment earlier. Was Bud saying they change the rules when they get to the playoffs? Why spend the early part of the season trading the players if they're going to change it in the playoffs?
No. I wasn't saying we changed the rules. We're not calling anything that might be iffy. We're letting the players play to the rule book, but let the players play.
Is that different,
play.
Though, in the regular season? Do you think they call iffy penalties in the regular season?
We will call close penalties in the regular season, yes. That is...
My question, yeah. why would you, if you're going to call close in the regular season, why not call close in the playoffs? Or conversely, if you're not going to call close in the playoffs, why don't call close in the regular season?
Because otherwise you're not going to be able to drill in the standard to the players. It's the same. One of the things that I hear Coach Jones say.
Do players agree with that?
Yes, they do. Okay. One of the things that I hear Coach Jones say at practice every week is don't practice bad habits. So we're trying to establish good habits with our performance during the season, and then get out of the way and let the players play the game.
Bud, always great to talk to you, man. Looking forward to the games this weekend. We'll have two teams and seven officials heading to the Grey Cup.
It is going to be a fabulous weekend. Do yourself a favor, football fans, and get down to Commonwealth, buy yourself a hot chocolate, and watch the best game of the year.
Sure, throw a little Bailey's in there. Why not?